Welcome to the Whole Point Podcast, all about guest conversations and our personal thoughts about big ideas that will elevate your life and change your mind.
We're talking about how to bring them into your business, your family, and your real life, and what that looks like day to day on any random Tuesday. I'm Christy Bartelt, a wise mentor helping women confidently love themselves and change their lives and their minds.
I'm Serena Talbot, and I'm passionate about helping people heal and accomplish their goals so that people can move forward with the life they are created to live. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to the podcast. This week, we're talking about gratitude and exactly why we may need it more than we think and how we may be misusing gratitude in our lives. So in the US this week, it is Thanksgiving, which is a holiday fraught with a lot of things, but we're going to focus on kind of like this cultural context of Thanksgiving, which is a time to give thanks for things. And of course, that's a natural lead into gratitude, but this is such a rich topic that it deserves to not just be heard this week, but carried throughout the year. So we're going to kind of approach it from the standpoint of healing through gratitude and what it can do for you. And I think a really good place to start is actually always, Serena, with the science. So Serena, lay out the negativity bias that you were bringing it up before we started.
Yeah. So one of the reasons it takes effort and reminders, and we can easily fall out of it and forget it, and maybe we think of it in November and that's it for the whole year, is because of our natural negativity bias that everybody has. So it's our tendency not only to register negative stimuli more readily, but dwell on those events. So we all know somebody, like 10 people give you a compliment, one person makes fun of you or insults you, and you focus on that. We've all had that experience. It means we sting I'm reading a definition, but it says we feel the sting of a rebuke more powerfully than we feel the joy of praise. And I would also say we feel and notice the things that aren't going well in our life way more easily than all the things that are going well. And the reason, you know, biologically, historically, humans have had that is because if you were going to live in a tribe or in a cave, it was a way smarter to be a little cautious and notice the things that weren't going well instead of like, oh, yay, everything's great, and dancing around where, you know, a predator might find you or you would be cold or alone or all of those things. Obviously, we don't live like that anymore, but these are things that are very much built into our limbic system, you know, in our brain. So our natural tendency is to focus on the one thing that's going wrong. And the way you get happy mentally is to notice all the things that are going right. So our brain is like working against us. So this needs to be something we consciously do all the time.
I think the wildest thing about this is, so we have this negativity bias that's like part of us and we need to embrace it. It's just, it is what it is. And then we work with it. But sometimes when people start, well, there's not a lot that I can be grateful for. Like all these big, you know, giant, really like hard things are going on in their life. And the funny thing is, when you have gratitude for small things, like the warmth of your coffee in the morning or just the sun on your skin, that is actually able to counteract emotionally those really big things that you're dealing with, at least to create balance. It doesn't have to be, well, I don't have anything to be grateful for. It's like, no, literally the air you're breathing, the cozy blanket you're laying with on the couch. These are things that we can actually be like, oh, these small sensory things. A lot of them are very sensorial. These are the things that I should be putting my attention on to help this part of myself feel better. And I really, the place in my life where I found this the most impactful was when I realized that a lot of my seasonal depression was relative to the negativity bias of only cognitively focusing on the cold weather and what I couldn't do instead of all the tiny little things like hot cocoa and a cozy blanket that actually were able to be like, well, yeah, there is all this stuff. It really is cold outside. I live in Wisconsin. It really is the cold tundra out there. And also I am so grateful that I have a warm house. And it was those small things, just actually bringing them into my awareness, that helped me shed a lot of sadness and pain. So you don't have to go out and find these giant things to be grateful for. It's literally the small things that already exist and just giving them quality attention.
Yeah. And you had mentioned before we hit record as well, the idea that there's this, I don't know if it would be false gratitude, but it's where it's like lip service and you're like, yeah, I'm so grateful for this. But like in your heart, you're like, screw everything. But I think the reason we do that is because sometimes we feel like we have a pain and we bring it to someone and they're like, well, you should be glad it's not worse. And so they're not, we need to do both. And we're validating the pain. You know, you're validating, yeah, it's really cold. I can't do the things that I did in Wisconsin, or maybe there's real pain or loss or grief in your life. And there's things that we can be grateful for. But I think there's a lot of tendency to negate, like, oh, you shouldn't be sad about that because look at all the things that are going well in your life. And anytime we're shoulding, it's not a good idea. So we really want to unpack that, you know, unpacking that part of gratitude, that it's both. You can have sadness in your life. We are not saying it's not painful if we have loss or difficult circumstances, you know, especially around the holidays or things like that. But in order for you to feel better, right? That's the goal here. How do you have resilience in it and feel better in it and not be overcome by those things in your life? That's where this gratitude for the small things comes in. So as you think about it that way, it's going to be easier if you've ever been told, well, at least you have this, or at least that didn't happen, or at least, you know, like you feel sick. Well, at least you don't have cancer. And it's like, that's a stupid thing to say, but that's our culture. Like, and it can, if that's a place where you truly get to, where you're like, oh, I'm so grateful it isn't worse. Like you can get to that place, but if somebody puts that on you, like you should, and kind of isn't validating your pain, then it's not okay.
Well, and to be honest, because we've all grown up in this way, and particularly the culture I grew up in with the religion I grew up in, this is like a part of the religion. Like it is, and that's okay. It has a healthy component to it, but we can begin to do it to ourselves, to gaslight ourselves virtually, like not allow ourselves to be like, yeah, that is something I don't like. The difference is, how long are you going to dwell on it? That's kind of what I've come to understand, which is you have to acknowledge there is a truth. Yes, I actually hate when the weather is so cold that my eyelids start to freeze to my eyeballs. That actually isn't pleasant to me. Yes, Christy, you're allowed to not like that. And what would you like to focus on? What feeling are you cultivating today? I can't change the weather. The only thing I can change, I can validate my experience, period. And instead of dwelling in that, remember this is pain versus suffering, I am going to go to, okay, so what do I have control over right now? I'm going to put on a pair of cozy socks. I'm going to wear a face mask and goggles, like, you know, just like random things. But it is this context to not gaslight ourselves in the moment of having the pain. Like, yeah, that really exists. This is totally happening. And being able to honestly do that for ourselves, so we don't have to go and talk about it with 7 different people to confirm that we're allowed to feel like we don't like the weather. Because that's what we do as humans. If we're not accepting it and validating in ourselves, we go and look for someone else to help us. And then from there, it's like, okay, and where would I like to direct my focus now? If I'm choosing, is it the weather? And I'm just going to beat this weather thing to a dead horse, because here we are in beginning of winter. I think that's the most important part for it not to become toxic, is the first part is validation. And from there, it's attention direction, basically, to what you can be grateful for in the moment.
Yes. And I grew up with, you know, it could always be worse. People always have it worse than us. And that's a gift for me. After I learned that I can have, you know, my emotions, my brain, you know, will think of things like, yes, I'm grateful that it isn't that bad, or that, you know, I'm thankful for the things that I do have. But I had to learn that I needed to validate my emotions first, you know, and do both. Like you said, instead of looking for other people to validate it, but then the way that I would do that is to just sit, like stay in that pain for way longer than I need to, which we talked about is the suffering, to almost make it more dramatic so that other people would notice.
Like, we'll join you there, right? They'll finally see it.
Yes, it needed almost then to be bigger for other mm-hmm. people to see it, because so I have the negativity bias, right, going on. So there's a bunch of things going well, but there's this one pain point and my brain is focused on that. And then I'm saying, well, at least I don't have it worse than other people, but it still hurts. And so I'm like looking for outside validation. And so here we are spinning.
Yep.
Instead of just saying, yeah, that's hard. And what are the things we can be grateful for? So I love that. And you have a heater in your office.
I do. I just had to turn it off when we started. Serena's like, oh my gosh, I love you have a heater in here. Well, the reason I do is because I'm like, I want to create like a little cozy cocoon, because I could then actually close my eyes and be in the sunshine, right? Because my body feels warm. And actually, I'll even share this. One of the craziest moments I had in meditation, I was doing a meditation from the, what is that app? Andy Puddicombe it will come to me. Headspace. I was on the Headspace app doing this meditation early in my meditation journey. And he said something to the effect of, the sun is always there. It's just sometimes there's clouds that are blocking it. So in your mind, go above the clouds. And I was like, wait, that's an option? Like I could just close my eyes and be in the sunshine. So I actually do that. I'll turn my little heater on. I'll get in my cozy wool socks and I will close my eyes and I will go above the clouds if it's a cloudy day. And I will actually just bask visually in the sunshine to create that, what I want, right? That is within my control. I can't drive from here to yes. Hawaii for a lot of reasons, but on any given day. But I can close my eyes and then go to the sunshine in my mind. That's like a whole little side topic into visualization. Well,
I think it's an important thing because that's empowering. Because if you have to drive to Hawaii, first of all, none of us can because it's an island. Second of all, like even to Florida, like that makes you powerless.
Right.
Sitting in your room, turning the heat up a little, getting some socks on, you are then empowered that, gosh darn it, you're going to feel warm in the middle of whatever polar vortex yes. Wisconsin is pumping out
it's
at this
an
moment.
Action. How yeah. empowering is it to take an action for yourself? It is incredibly, particularly if you've had trauma in your past. I've had trauma in my childhood. So when I can empower myself in these little things, I can actually even be grateful for that. Yes. I am grateful that I have the power to turn on a heater to make myself cozy. Like in that moment, I'm like, wow, I'm like a very powerful human that can do these things for myself. Mm-hmm. But when you've been disempowered in childhood, sometimes you forget you have this power and you live in this mind story that your circumstances have to change in order for you to be.
Right. It's a pattern. Nobody, if someone didn't validate my emotions, I don't know that I can validate my own. Yep. And I don't know that I can change. That I can go past that to change. Okay, I'm sad. What could make me feel better, right? If that was never an option, what could make me feel better? Then we can learn that as adults, and gratitude is key. And it's also, so when I looked up the definition, just Googled negativity bias, there was this pile of positive things, right? Little marbles, like 100 marbles, and then one bad. And your eyeballs look at the bad, which is your reticular activating system, right? So that's sending chemicals to your body, feel good chemicals. When you're visualizing being in Hawaii, you're literally getting dopamine and serotonin and, you know, maybe not the vitamin D unless you have a sunlight, but like you are literally empowering your chemicals in your body to help you feel better in those moments. And that's the power of gratitude, is that when you focus on those 100 things, you know, I just absolutely love warm, cozy socks. And it can be little dinky things like that, or, you know, a hot, you said cocoa, a cup of tea. If you notice the 100 things, you're going to start to train your brain to look at those things and feel literally physically and chemically feel better. And as we think about Thanksgiving, our intention was to clarify, this isn't like, oh, I should be grateful. And, yeah. you know, just pass this really powerful technique up. We want to explain why this should become a lifelong habit.
Well, you know, it's funny because you just brought up this idea of Thanksgiving and then the idea of doing this in a toxic way. So one way that could be is, you know, you have, let's say somebody has a mom who is constantly critical, or whenever they're around them, they're, you know, talking about their looks or how much they're eating or money or whatever it is. And then they have a friend whose mother has passed away. So the toxic gratitude would be that you're at Thanksgiving and, you know, your mother is hammering you with all these things that are like totally inappropriate, but you're like, ah, I'm grateful that I have a mother. It's like, actually, I don't know. Like, that seems to me like it should be, this is really hard. Like, this isn't right. This isn't safe emotionally for me. The place to go isn't, I'm glad I have a mother. It's, I'm glad in this moment that I can choose to not take this on. I'm glad in this moment that I have gratitude that there's a bathroom that I can go and be in for 5 minutes to be away from this. I'm glad that I have a friend who I can sit with and who can reinforce to me that I am great how I am. You know, it's these things, switching out the idea of the toxic gratitude for the actual real gratitude, which is the change.
Right. And anytime it's not validating the your reality, then it's not a good thing. You may, again, say this is not okay. I do not like how I'm being treated. I'm going to use my tools. I'm not going to take this on. I'm going to do these things. And yes, I am grateful that I have a mom, but it can't replace that this situation sucks. Like, we can't not look at reality. It's like, so we have the pile of good marbles and the one bad, and we can't look at those and say, there isn't a bad marble. Like, right? It doesn't exist. It's not really there. It's not really hurting my hand that I'm holding it in, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're saying, yeah, this hurts on the one hand, and there are good things on the other hand. And
which is where I'm going to put my attention.
Right. We're holding both. That's the idea. We have to have the duality of both.
Well, I think that one reason people hate, so I love my gratitude journal. I use a 5-minute journal. I think it's fabulous. I've used one for years. I remember, was it Holly Higgins that we were talking to? We had an episode where Holly came on and she was like listening to something. It was all be positive. And she just like pulled out her earphones, and because when you are in the negative, when you're immersed in that and not yet practicing gratitude as like a literal medicine for yourself, you can start getting into it and being like, this is gross. This feels gross to try to take my attention from my real problems and put them on these little things. The difference here is, and I think something that can be really helpful, particularly if you're like, yeah, I want to take on a gratitude practice, is you may have to actually take a few minutes before you write the gratitude list to actually validate all the crap that's going on in your life. You might actually like get a piece of paper out and write down all the negative stuff, like da, 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 and then do your gratitude list. And here's the clincher. Here's the big thing. Close your eyes and feel the gratitude for what you've written down in your body as a physical experience. It's a doing experience, not just a writing experience. That, I think, starting to connect that sensorial positive feeling in your body to these little things, allowing yourself a negative, get that out, express it, and then going to the positive is a really helpful way to start this practice if you're not doing it already.
Yeah, it's powerful. And again, that puts us in control instead of having conditional gratitude. I'm happy when things go the way that I want. I'm happy when I get the thing that I've been waiting for. I'm happy when I feel good. I'm grateful when I feel good. I'm grateful when things, you know, work out perfectly. That's conditional gratitude. And you'll only be able to have it a few times, you know, when things work out the way that you want. But if you can cultivate unconditional gratitude, on the one hand, this is really painful. I don't like it. I don't want this thing that's happening, but I'm going to focus on and train myself to feel good even when everything's not working out, right? Because hello, 95% of our life. Like, if we're going to wait for circumstances, it's going to be a long time before we can have those good feelings. And again, they're outside of our control because we're waiting for circumstances to line up with what we say, you know, when this works out, I'll be happy. When this works out, I can be thankful. When this works out, then it's good, because there's always going to be something that's not working out in some area of our life, and that can steal our joy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's where your attention is focused, the feelings in your body will follow. So it makes sense. Like, the big things in our life, the painful things. Our mind is trying to solve for them. That's what the negativity bias is actually trying to do. It's trying to solve them so you don't have them anymore. And ultimately, what we're offering to you is you can still have them and you can cultivate different emotional experiences and different intention and actually have a different relationship to the hard things in your life. And it's wild. It's wild how a gratitude practice, something as simple as 5 minutes a day, can really shift your perspective on things. I don't know. It's like one of those things where I'm like, do I need to hold you down so you do your gratitude? Because I'm willing to come to your house and strap you down so that you can do this, because I know how profound it is to get back that internal locus of control over your own feelings. And this is such a simple way to re-empower yourself. So this week, perfect time to practice, because everybody's going to be talking about gratitude. Like, here it is. You have a few weeks left in 2021. Can you believe that? That's wild to me. There's just a few weeks left in this year. And what would it be like to have cultivated gratitude and acceptance of your feelings and what's real in your life? And then where you're going to intentionally direct into these small gratefuls for the rest of the year, how would that set your 2022 up differently? By taking a few minutes a day to practice gratitude in your life.
And that's what I was going to ask in the what it looks like for you. Is it literally just a few minutes every morning that you're writing, noticing things you're grateful for?
And that's so, yeah, I follow my 5 minute journal. It's like 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night, which I love. It's that coming back at the end of the day for the little things, like what went well. And then the 5 minute journal is lovely, but you could literally do this with a dollar notebook from like, you know, the dollar store in the morning. What am I grateful for? Because you're right there, you're dialing in your intention for the day. You're literally dialing in what you want to look for. And at the end of the day, like, what went well? What can you be grateful for in retrospect? So you're not only projecting into the future, you're actually checking in at the end of the day to confirm, hey, here are the places that were really good today. Because then your mind starts going, oh, I'm going to have to find this. So I better be looking out all day for what is like this little thing that I could be grateful for. So it creates a little game that your mind plays. That's what I love about the 5 minute journal, is it's a morning and an evening practice and it's quick, but it will dial you in by having to do it both times a day in a way that just once a day doesn't, or even, you know, Esther Hicks, The Rampage of Appreciation. I mean, if you're feeling that, writing pages and pages of gratefuls is a really cool stretch, because after a while you're like, I don't know, like my carpet, I'm not sure anymore. Like blades of grass, like what else am I grateful for? But I don't have the time to do that. I am always looking for like the simplest route to the biggest payoff. And 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night seems to be the sweet spot for me. What about you?
Yeah, I just write, thank you. Like, thank you, God. Thank you, life, for this. And thank you for that. Like things that have been going well. And I do it in the morning. I don't also do it at night. I have in the past actually done it with Travis, or I did it with my kids when they were little, but I don't have that. That routine has not stuck, but it's cool to cultivate it with your kids. If that's an option for you too. But that's what I do, is like a thank you, just noticing the things that are good.
I love that. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. I love that. That is just like gorgeous. I love that because I like this phrase, everything is always working out for me. I actually use it when something has gone to absolute crap. I'm like, how is this working out for me?
Right.
There is a way, and I want to reframe it to see it. So I love that, the thank you in that way. I would add, just realized at night, every night when we tuck the kids in, my part of the tuck-in process is always, what are your three gratefuls for the day? And to cultivate that just as like an end of day thing for my kids. So I do that, and it's simple because it's we connect, we cuddle when they're doing it. So it's like a positive feeling in their body in and of itself, like a sensorial feeling. Plus they're having to decide. It's kind of lovely as a parent too. Sometimes they say the like most adorable things. But interestingly enough, one of my two kids is definitely more tuned into their negativity bias. And it has been quite a process for that particular child to actually come up with gratefuls. And I can see, I mean, we've been doing this for years now. it's very different now than in the beginning. And I'm really glad I didn't give up. And in the beginning, I had to prompt, well, here's some things if I was you, I might be grateful for, but yours might be different than mine. And then letting him off the hook if he couldn't come up with them, but just to see now how his mind is actually attuned to it in a different way has been, as a mom, I'm like, let me just pat myself on the back real fast. Like, this is actually good. So if you're a parent, I highly encourage, you could do this at the dinner table.
I was just going to say, we do at the dinner table when we're all sitting together, which isn't as often now with teenagers and in jobs and all that kind of stuff, but it's, what was your favorite part of the day? Or if we're on vacation and stuff again, when we're together more, like, what was your favorite part of the day? Yeah. Training. Yeah. Training your brain for more joy. I'm really struggling not talking, Christy, just about Thanksgiving in general, not being like kosher, but that's a whole different conversation.
Oh, you mean as far as like it being like a toxic holiday? I know. It is, it's an interesting thing because Thanksgiving has always been my favorite holiday, always. Like from childhood on, because it revolves around food.
Holiday. Like, how can you not love a holiday that's the eating is the holiday?
Right.
And for all intents
and purposes. I mean, now that I've actually read the history, not what was taught to me as a kid, but actually, it's really painful. And
that's that duality. Here's a holiday that's like, I mean, mm-hmm. In America, everything's commercialized and, you know, made to be the thing or this not. And then here's our take the gratitude that we're a bit focused on today. This will release on Thursday and take it as something different and that you can continue the rest of the year because it's a good conversation and it's good to think about every day.
Change your life, rewire your brain. I mean, gratitude rewires your brain, which I always wanted to be as important as a brain surgeon. And actually I am because I do surgery on my own brain with gratitude. So here's the thing, and hold the space for both. Just like I can hold the space for a holiday that is my favorite, but it also has such a negative history. I can feel that and also still appreciate being with my family. And eating a hell of a lot of pie. I'm going to eat a lot of pie because that's what I do on Thanksgiving.
You make any?
I do. Well, gluten-free, you have to like bring your own to these things. So in the last few years, I've had to learn how to make pie crust. And now my kids, they often ask, oh, can you make your apple pie? I'm like, oh, I never thought I'd be like an apple pie lady. But because of Thanksgiving, I did some research and created these pies that we can eat as a family and love it, adore it.
That sounds really good. I'm going to Costco today to buy pie.
Oh, you lucky people that can just buy the Costco pies. Good for you. Happy for you. All right, everyone. Enjoy creating gratitude in all the little ways over the next weeks and months. And let us know the funniest thing you found to be grateful for. Because there's lots of little, wouldn't it be amazing just to hear all the little random things? And we hope you have a wonderful week.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends, leave us a review, subscribe so more people can find us.
And if you want more information about me or Christy, there's a link to both of our websites in the show notes, and we'll see you next time.